The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Back in the heartland of America, welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our real bunker, because honestly, about a week ago, we were in Branson, Missouri, so we're back from the future Congress.
And back in time, as the Huey Lewis song goes.
Well, we are.
Yeah, and glad to be here. It is nice to be home. We had a wonderful time in Branson, but it is always nice to get back home to your own stuff. And your own pillows.
You and I are really not very good tourists, are we?
Well, yeah, I think we would probably have slept better if we'd had the sonorous sounds of Sam's snoring from the corner of the room. Yeah,
he was left behind, and he's reminded of that very fact every day.
Yes, yeah, just staring at us. Remember when you abandoned me? They took really good care of him at the
They
at the
did.
Vet.
And in fact, when we picked him up, we had asked them if they could possibly switch him to a different diet, because the food that he eats is notorious for, mm-hmm. you know, making bad teeth. So we have to get his teeth cleaned about once or twice a year. He's not big on letting me brush them. Let's put it that way. But so we were trying to switch him, and they said, "Oh yes, oh yeah, he loved that new food." So we bought a bag.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got him home, and he just sort of stares at you when you pour it into the bowl. Science, what?
You're
not experimenting
me
on
with
me.
Science diet?
Yeah, I'm not
What's
into
in
this
that?
Transdoganism. Not going for that. So anyway, we're back.
I read your report.
Back in our routine. Wonderful time. We met some wonderful new friends.
Oh, man.
And
I mean,
what
that
a
place.
Blessing.
You know, if you were there, then you understand what we're talking
yes.
about. If you didn't make it, you wanted to make it, and you simply couldn't do it this year for financial reasons, or you had other obligations, please, if you know, I think there's going to be one next year.
Mm-hmm. If the Lord tarries.
Yes, indeed. So put it on your calendars. Sometime next, probably summer, mm-hmm. we'll have another one.
Now, it was really hot in Branson. And that's one of the reasons that we chose not to leave the hotel to go out and sightsee. Besides which, it's not the same Branson it was 30 years ago when you and I were there. We went there separately. I was there with a high school choir.
We've tracked along, you know, similar
paths yeah.
for years.
But to be honest with you, I don't really remember much of Branson, because being a high school guy at that age, I was more concerned with the girls in the chorus than I was with the sights.
You know, the funny thing is, my sister Ann was in Branson about the same time you and I were, uh-huh. and she and I were talking about it, and we think that we stayed at the same place at different times. So there may have only been one place. If you were in Branson, you know, 30 years ago or so,
yeah.
and you stayed at the Crow's Nest,
then you've been, yes.
then we've all been there.
Well, it was... So we didn't leave the hotel much. We chose to eat as much of the hotel.
But you know, like I said, we were really, really yes. busy. You were doing, you know, we were doing interviews during the day. We mm-hmm. had our own presentations. We were having lunches and coffees with wonderful people, getting yeah. to know them. And then, of course, you did roundtables in the evening from 10
until midnight,
Eastern
Central
until
time.
Midnight Central.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, he was up late, people.
Well, it was worth doing, though, because
I was snoring away.
So what a gathering of people to let that opportunity go by without speaking to, you know, people like that and just picking their brains. I mean, that was the really cool part. I mean, everybody was there to see and learn and fellowship. And we, because we got these microphones and this little mixer, we got to sit down with Chuck Missler and Noah Hutchings and Terry Griffin. James and Ed Griffin and Chris Pinto and Tom Horn and, you know, Rob Skiba, Russ Dizdar, Chris White, Chris Pinto.
Oh, good heavens, Chris Future. Putnam,
Dr.
The
Future,
Mike's, Tom Mike Squared.
Yes, yes, that's right. Mike and Mike. Those are the guys on ESPN radio. Mike Squared. I think that makes more sense.
Yeah.
So just all of those folks. And our new friend, Jeff Patty, Jim Fletcher from Rapture Ready and from Prophecy
and
Matters.
Daniel and Mark and
the
Lloyd,
guys behind the cameras,
and
right.
I think another Mark. So many wonderful people who are helping out, because you know what? We not only recorded the audio, they had four cameras going on us.
Yeah.
And, well, which, you know, it takes a lot of cameras to get the wide angle thing going. Oh,
it's
look
funny.
She's like the Pillsbury Dough Girl.
We pointed at the Gilberts and it kept fogging over. We don't understand. They didn't cast a reflection or anything. No. So, but we did get, and this is the cool thing. If you weren't able to attend, the 3 2-hour roundtable discussions that we did on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, dealing with the topics of politics and conspiracy, prophecy and apologetics, and contending with the supernatural, have all been posted now to vftb.net. And, just a note, if you use iTunes or a podcatcher to download the shows, I've noticed that the most recent episode, the one on contending with the supernatural, which was an awesome discussion, has about 3 times the downloads of the 2 previous episodes. And I think that's because I uploaded all 3 in the RSS feed at once. And if you've got iTunes set to just download the most recent show, the 2 previous shows that went up that are ahead of it in the queue may not have downloaded, which is why there's like 3 times more downloads for the show at the top of the queue RSS feed.
Maybe they're just more interested in that particular show.
That could be, but just in case you wanted to hear the other 2 and wondered where they were, you might just look at iTunes and see if they're there, but just not downloaded. And you may have to manually click get this show. And believe me, and I don't say this because I contributed anything worth listening to, I was like the point guard who never shoots or tried not to shoot, because when you're sitting there with guys like Russ Dizdar and Chris White and Jim Fletcher and Dr. Future, you just pass them the ball and let them make the shots. And it was really some amazing discussions.
So were you dribbling?
By the end of the third night, yes, I was.
Dribbling and drooling, that describes us.
So,
hey, it was a wonderful time.
Yes.
I can't wait to go next year.
Amen to that. The other interviews that we did together for PID Radio are being uploaded as PID Radio specials on Wednesdays for the next month and a half or so. We posted the first interview with G. Edward Griffin this past week, and this coming Wednesday I'll post the interview that we did, that we were blessed to do, with Chuck Missler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he came out with stuff, and you can testify to this. There were people in the room when he said a couple of things, just went, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the great thing, because there were chairs. There was an audience
right.
in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had as many as maybe 30, 40 people listening to us.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We're used to just having a dachshund in the room.
Right. And the only feedback we get is snoring.
What are you doing over there?
Just trying to move the microphone here as I set things back up, and I'm going to need to readjust it here. I almost broke the table, which would be
we're still getting used to the home setup.
Yeah.
We are pretty much got accustomed to the wonderful Rode setup that you guys helped us buy.
Oh, those
once again, thank you. They were, I'm going to tell you
those
what,
headset
they
mics,
were rock stars.
Yes, those headset mics were great.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a little bit about, you know, where to tweak the EQ, because they're different from the microphones that we use, which are, you know, large diaphragm condensers. These are small microphones.
Which I know is why you're still, you know, fiddling over there trying
things,
to
right.
get...
But the voices sound a little bit different on those microphones, and it was mainly because the EQ was tweaked. I rolled off too much low end to get technical. Anyway, but they worked great. They were magnificent. And
magnificent.
Yeah. Right. So it was just truly a blessing to have those available, because this will enable us not just to do more like this should, you know, the Lord open opportunities to do it, but those microphones would be great for doing presentations and stuff without having to hold a microphone in one hand. I could have used that in my presentation, because I had to hold the mic in one hand.
Oh,
I was
no.
hitting the space bar in the other hand, and then because I was using audio in my presentation, as you were.
Uh-huh.
You just had the one video clip. I used like 4 video clips, and I had to hold the microphone down over the speaker on the laptop.
That's right. It would have been nice if you'd had a mixer and 2 microphones.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, these are technical matters.
Next time.
Yes. Meanwhile, all kinds of other things have gone on. While we were in Branson, of course, the big news was the shooting and bombing in Oslo, Norway.
That happened on Saturday morning.
That was actually Friday the 22nd.
We hit the floor of the hotel, the main floor, and we had just seen, you know, another thing we were enabled to buy, and we didn't specifically ask you to donate for this, but many of you have been supporting us, you know, in the past. And so we took some of those funds and we bought, we've been calling it Blueberry, but it's a really itty-bitty netbook. Mm-hmm. And we were able, that fit in my purse.
Yeah.
So we were able to carry that all over the hotel. Mm-hmm. And we got online. We were able to get all the stories that were going. That thing fed you. That served as your virtual cart.
Yeah, it was an audio source. If you listen to the shows on View from the Bunker that were recorded in Branson, that was the source of the opening and closing theme music, and also the, the little messages that I played halfway through the program to give us all a break, to, you know, reload water and run to the men's room very quickly. That was truly a blessing. We'd been looking at some of those new tablets that come out, but those are so expensive.
They really are. Yeah. And honestly, I like having a keyboard.
Yeah.
This thing is the size of a tablet.
Yeah.
It's 10.1 inches. Its battery life is
tremendous.
Eternal.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That thing will be going long after you and I raptured. Mm-hmm. But, again, because you guys helped us out, because you've been so good about gifting, whatever you have extra, we got to thank you because we were able to buy it because of that.
Right, right. And it was such...
All the other money we had
so much more reasonable.
Gas.
Yeah. So much more reasonable than getting a tablet. And it multitasks, which most of the tablets can't do. So.
Well, it did. So
if you want to know exactly
what brand it is, we'll be happy to let you know.
Yes.
Send us a note on Facebook or email, and we will be happy. Radio at PeeringIntoDarkness.com.
But that tablet did allow us to stay up on top of current events, which we talked about.
That little
during,
computer, little netbook.
Right. The netbook kept us up on what was happening in the outside world. And
it did. We were sitting in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure, and it was nice connection over there. So thank you to the Radisson.
The Radisson. Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's Radisson. Fargo reference.
Yes.
Anyway, nothing went on pause while we were gone.
No.
Of course, as you were citing, and I totally interrupted you, was the Oslo shooting, which we're still hearing about as far as new information coming out. Mm-hmm. And boy, the spin that started taking place within minutes.
It's almost like contending factions within the intelligence community trying to decide which story was going to be the official story.
And what version of his Facebook page we would see.
Well, yeah, exactly. Getting to that. The first story that came out was that it was a radical Islamic group that was going to take credit for it. That was quickly debunked. But then the story came out that he was a political conservative who professed to be a Christian. And one commentator went so far as to call this Oslo's Oklahoma City, which of course is a reference to Timothy McVeigh, and the tendency of some liberal commentators to this day to try to pin Oklahoma City on a conservative or evangelical Christian outlook, a radical Christian outlook. They based this on a Facebook profile, which was allegedly belonged to Anders Breivik. But the website Atlas Shrugged, which is run by a woman named Pamela Geller, has done some investigative work and found that the Facebook profile for Breivik appears to have been updated. Okay, the original profile, which was pulled from a Google cache dated a day or two before the event, was in Norwegian and had nothing. It had no reference at all on his profile as to his political beliefs or his religious beliefs or philosophical beliefs. The updated profile indicated that he was a Christian and a conservative, but the date that the new profile was pulled would have been while he was in custody. And it was in English.
Yes, exactly.
It was in English.
You know, that's where the cache at Google really comes in handy.
Yes. So there is a serious question as to whether Breivik was truly a Christian. Now, his 1,500-page manifesto, much of it was plagiarized from the Unabomber, seems to indicate that he's concerned about the demographic shift taking place in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fact, I talked about this with Pat Buchanan a couple of years ago in Missouri. I interviewed him about his book, which...
Time to pull that interview back out.
Yeah, in which he said, hey, look, you know, this is something nobody wants to talk about. But the fact is that within 50 years, Europe will be a majority Muslim, There are already more people going to mosques in France than people who are practicing Roman Catholics. And this is a country that's chock full of cathedrals. So... it's just a fact that Caucasians in general, in Europe, in Russia, in the United States, are not having enough babies to grow as a population. In fact, we are shrinking. We are essentially breeding ourselves into a minority.
Breeding ourselves.
Exactly. We're losing the Breeders' Cup.
Well, and sadly, many of those, it's not just, you know, they're not conceiving children. It's that they, and honestly, infertility is a big mm-hmm. problem.
Yes.
But those who get pregnant, many of them are choosing to abort the children.
Right.
And it's not just here in the United States. It's all over the world.
That's exactly right.
And girls are being aborted.
Well, yeah, that's an ugly story. We'll touch on that in just a moment. That there are parts of the world where, like India and China, where mm-hmm. that's taking place, female infanticide.
Well, when you're only allowed to have one child.
Right. And that's the enlightened model that progressives want us to follow. So Breivik, if he believed in anything, it's Christendom, not Christianity. He's been depicted as wearing Freemasonic garb, although the media really hasn't touched on that or discussed that at all. Although we should note, interestingly, that this is a gentleman who was in his 33rd year of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was 32, going on 33. He committed this act of atrocity on 7/22 of 2011. And if you add 7 plus 22 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1, you get 33. And it was pointed out by one commentator that his act, based as it was on a racist or racially motivated act, in some ways echoed the plot of a book called The Turner Diaries, which was published. It's a white supremacist diatribe barely disguised as a novel, which was published 33 years ago. Coincidence, nothing to see here. Just move along.
I have never read that book. I've
Lone Wolf.
Read about the book. Is the so-called protagonist, does he dress as a policeman?
I don't know.
Because that is, of course, what happened in Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the killer dressed as a policeman. And I say the killer because, honestly, someone was arrested, but
mm-hmm.
it may have been killers.
Well, there was some concern, some question as to whether there was more than one. I mean, it almost begs credulity. Stretches credulity to believe that one guy could do this. That just one man would be able to achieve all of this on his own, that many people.
This was so, so horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we send our children off to camp.
Yeah.
Everybody, at one point or another, who has children, you send your child off to some sort of camp at some point in his or her life, be it church camp or band camp or just, you know, to go fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's horrific. The meme that has come from this, by the way, is that there is the real danger in our world today is from lone wolf terrorists who are self radicalized over the internet. This was actually a quote attributed to a police official in Norway, a counterterror official in Norway. Who lone wolf terrorists, self-radicalized, who avoid detection by leading lawful lives. I mean, can you believe that?
How dare we lead? But this goes along with a bill that's in Congress right now this notion of internet service providers, mm-hmm. and online cloud providers like Google and Facebook and where we get to interact with each other, social media sites, that they are going to be required to keep all sorts of data collection information mm-hmm. for years possibly. And the reason for that is supposedly, according to the bill, to help reduce child pornography.
Right, right.
Which is a wonderful little, frankly, a MacGuffin to get the bill through. Mm-hmm. But, and I, you know, look, I hope it does. If this bill goes through, I'm all for reducing and eliminating child pornography. That is a sure. hideous, hideous activity.
But that's how they sell it to us.
I know it is. It's exactly how they sell it to us. And that is going to be how, with facial recognition mm-hmm. software and with little spider softwares the interwebs that go through and they pick out certain pages and look to see who's liked those pages and who's mm-hmm. who's saying what sort of things. They could take the most mundane conversation, and if they choose to, they could twist that, and as we've seen with Oslo, possibly even rewrite
yeah.
what you have put up there to frame you.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if he's being framed, but it sure is suspicious that his page changed while he was in jail.
Custody. Right. That's the meme that they want to put out there. He's mm-hmm. self-radicalized. He's a radical Christian, and he avoided detection because he led a lawful life, which means what we need is to spy on everybody all the time. Our only means of being secure, our only way to guarantee your security is you let us spy on you all the time. And so this bill passed the House, the Stop Internet Child Pornography Act of 2011. I talked about this at the presentation in Branson. This is something that FBI Director Mueller has been asking for since 2006. He's wanted ISPs essentially to conduct online surveillance for the government by keeping records, logs of every website you visit for 2 years. The bill that passed through the House, or at least hasn't passed the House, it was just passed out of committee, the House Judiciary Committee. The last time I checked, it's at 18 months. That may have been reduced to 12 months. I need to double check that. But still,
the last thing I read was 12, but
okay.
I think that they're going to make it whatever they choose to. If they require 12, then they will add some sort of a little rider later on that says, no, 12 years.
Yeah, point being that your internet service provider will be conducting surveillance on you for mm-hmm. the government in the near future.
Yes, and now don't forget there are many police departments that right now have those handheld face recognition software mm-hmm. computers. They're expensive, but you can bet that there's some sort of subsidizing that's taking place to help get these into the hands of police officers. We all, you and I both support police officers.
Yep.
Absolutely. And we want them to have every tool that they need in order to catch the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is sometimes this software isn't exactly 100% accurate.
No, no. There's a story from Boston that a fellow there received a notice on April 5th, dated March 22nd. So, you know, the Postal Service took a week and 2 weeks to deliver it to him. This letter from the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles telling him that his driver's license had been revoked and that he must immediately stop driving. Now, this gentleman, his name is John Gass, had not received a traffic violation for years. However, the RMV identified him as a person suspected of having a fake identity by using an automated anti-terrorism facial recognition software package. It confused his driver's license picture with someone else's and flagged him. And they, without any kind of a trial, without any warning, they just revoked his driver's license. Now, this gentleman drives for a living. Don't know if he's a truck driver or a courier or whatever.
Or an outside salesman.
Or an outside salesman. Or it could just be he just needs to drive to get to work because public transportation doesn't get him where he needs to go. But in any case, it took him a couple of weeks, 10 days, to get his license back. And the RMV essentially said, hey, tough. It's a privilege, not a right, and you have to prove that you're innocent if we choose to revoke your license.
Well, how often have you been told, hey, don't I know you, or hey, you look just like so-and-so?
Yeah.
I know that we have really unique faces when it comes right down to the very tiny, minute details, but the truth is, how good is this software?
Well, it's not good enough, apparently. Getting having a plastic surgery can throw off this software by about a factor of, what, 98%?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the kicker. 35 states are now using this software, this facial recognition software, in various capacities. The Department of State has been using it since 2009 to evaluate pictures for passports. And
they use it in big crowds.
Well, yes, that's another way that it's been proposed to be used, at crowds to detect if there are potential terrorists at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But the State Department has 142 million images, faces on file. That's almost half the population of the United States.
Good heavens. They probably got them all from Facebook. Honestly, you know, many of us have online, like Picasa and other, you know, photo websites.
Flickr
yes. Mm-hmm. Many of us have those. I don't. I do upload pictures to Facebook. But somewhere online, there are tons of pictures probably that you and I have taken over the years. And many of them are probably on our servers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that most of our listeners have at some time or another uploaded at least an image of themselves.
Sure.
Maybe of your children.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It is interesting that, we're just sharing this information willingly because it is kind of neat to go online and see pictures of you and your friends and your family. It's a nice way to share, mm-hmm. Family memories, memories back and forth as, our culture becomes ever more, separated. We live hours away from our nearest relatives.
Yes.
And a couple of days drive away from the ones the farthest.
Well, I love it. And, you know, on the PID news feed that we have at our page at Facebook, some of you have been commenting the post that you put up there earlier about Facebook pushing to require everyone's online activity to be tracked by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you are saying that this is just nuts. And Karen is saying, Sharon, I have really been thinking since the conference. It's so sad to know that this great and mighty country we live in is coming to what we have now. Reality is still sinking in for me. Michael says, time to get off Facebook. I think they're great comments, and I suspect that those who are aware of what's going on, which sadly is too small a percentage, they may choose to get off Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Getting off the grid, you know, it seems like a great idea for now, but then you don't get to see your grandkids, and you don't get to,
That's the trade-off. The cool thing is that by doing what we're doing and sharing this information back and forth, we are, at least for now, using the tool that the enemy will ultimately use to pull together a one-world government, mm-hmm. to share the gospel and keep others informed.
Exactly.
And who knows, perhaps even plant the seeds of a resistance. But anyway, that's...
You have just been
picked.
Yes, you have. Speaking of that, you know, we have talked about the hackers group Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. And LulzSec,
There have been a few stories about them in the last few days. One of them is supposedly Anonymous has started its own social media site called Anon Plus. I guess they're Anon Plus.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we'll see. The problem is... Everyone's got the same name.
I know, and Google Plus will probably sue them. Yeah, everybody's got the same
Anonymous.
Name.
Yeah.
I spell mine differently, though.
The other big thing that's going on, of course, in the news is the show of dogs and ponies, or donkeys and elephants in Washington, D.C.
Dogs chasing weekend. Themselves.
As we record this on July the 31st of 2011, the debt ceiling tango taking place on Capitol Hill. And it's really amusing seeing, you know, Boehner and Pelosi dance like that. It's
Pelosi's hideaway. Did you get the do we have that sound clip?
We have the audio here.
I stayed up late last night because Harry Reid promised that there would be a vote. He was going for a cloture vote, which requires 60 votes. It's sort of a straw vote to see if he's got the votes to pass his bill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was going to have it yesterday morning, and then he was going to have it at noon yesterday, and then he said, no, it's going to be 1 in the morning on Sunday morning. So I stayed up because that was only midnight here, and which is late for me, but I stayed up, and I'm glad I did because they didn't vote, but I got to hear this.
I rise in support of the Reid legislation, urge my colleagues to support it because it protects Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare because it is fair. But I want to use my time in the following way. I listened very carefully and very attentively to our speaker yesterday when he spoke. And he used the term, the bill is not perfect, but we did our level best. Our level best. One might infer from that this process is on the level. How can it be on the level if we're bringing a $2.5 trillion bill to the floor under suspension the same way we might bring the naming of a post office? $2.5 trillion, 20 minutes on each side.
How's that any different than the Patriot Act?
Members have said on both sides of the aisle, this is a very important debate. Well, if it is, why is it brought under suspension, which requires a two-thirds vote, guaranteeing that it will not prevail? Not on the level. The word level, of course, enters into, is this a level playing field? Is it on the level for America's seniors to pay more for Medicare for fewer benefits while we give tax subsidies to big oil? Is it on the level for us to throw people out of nursing homes by reducing Medicaid so we can give tax breaks to corporations sending jobs overseas?
Oh.
Is it on the level for us to make young people and their families pay more for their college education so that we can give tax breaks to the high end?
No.
Is it on the level to bring a Boehner bill to the floor that makes all those cuts, undermines Social Security, eliminates Medicare, and doesn't charge one red cent to people who have benefited so much from the greatness of our country?
And at that point, she was actually holding up a penny.
Was it red?
You know, I couldn't really see. C-SPAN didn't really zoom in. I'm amazed that she knew what a penny looked like, because I doubt that she's actually had to pinch many of those in the course of her adult life.
Well, she went on and on, because what we didn't hear before this was that the Democrat who was sort of leading the debate last night for his side said, I yield the balance of my time 1 minute to the gentle lady from
California.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
1 minute.
Yeah, that clip was 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
And that was only a short?
Right. Yeah, and
did we get the other part where she was?
No, I didn't want to clip that. That would have been too far into it. But yeah, the person, the woman with the gavel tried to shut her up, and Nancy Pelosi bravely said,
"No,
I will not yield.
I will not yield."
Yeah. So they had to drag her out of there. No, they didn't really.
I wish they had.
It was.
I expected the hook
theater
to come out and grab her off stage any minute.
It would have been worth
seeing.
And
she was going on and on about this level thing.
Level.
And it's almost like, was she trying to say something about Freemasonry?
Yes, which is where the whole on the level comes from. You know, level best, on the level.
It's like
she did her best
to do that.
From when she was back in 2009, when she was sworn in as the Speaker of the House, the first female Speaker of the House in U.S. history, which was an historic occasion, no question about that. But she made a point of talking about the new order of the ages, Novus Ordo Seclorum.
That's right, she did.
Yeah, you can go back. We played audio from that in a show that we did back in January of 2009. I think it was January of 2009. I'll look that up real quick, but called Pelosium 110 was the, because it was the 110th Congress.
And it was during that time when the Polonium.
Right.
Polonium?
Yes. Polonium 110 was supposedly killed the former KGB agent.
Yes.
A little play on words there. Pelosium 110. And we played that clip about the Novus Ordo Seclorum. No, I'm sorry. 2007.
Oh, has it been that long?
Yeah. January 4th of 2007 was the Pelosium 110 episode. So, we've got the audio in there for that. But yeah, she talked about the new order of the ages. And back then we said, is this her nudge, nudge, wink, wink to the old boys?
And they just let her go on and on.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't stay up late, maybe tonight you should, because they're probably going to continue the show right up until the last minute. And here's the thing, because many of those people last night on the Democrat side were saying something like, well, maybe at this point, President Obama should just invoke the 14th Amendment and do it on his own, because we're not getting it done. because of the Republicans.
Right, right.
It's all blamed on the right. Well, this is, you know, it's a left-right thing. If the Republicans, if Bush were still in office and this were happening right now, it would be the Democrats' fault. It doesn't really matter what sure. party's in office. It's all the same game.
Mm-hmm.
They're all behind the scenes right now saying, okay, what will you do for me to get my vote? It's not,
right.
Well, maybe in some instances it is a matter of conscience, but I think more to the point is a matter of expediency for many of these people because they're trying to get goodies for their own state.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't blame them.
We saw that during the health care provision where Ben Nelson of Nebraska got Nebraska, you know, exempted from something. And Mary Landrieu of Louisiana got a special deal for Louisiana, and Florida got a special deal. Everybody was getting something out of that deal. And it's atrocious. It's horrendous. When you look at the, and especially when you look at the budget, and part of the problem that we got with the budget is that the United States government now pays 44% of all health care bills mm-hmm. in this country. And under Obamacare, we're going to pick up 50% of the tab within the next couple of years. That is a major reason that the deficit is as large as it is.
Well,
we're paying half the health care for all. And the problem is because the government is basically diverting this massive income stream to big pharma and the insurance companies, they've got no incentive to there's no price competition. It's the reason colleges are so unaffordable these days. Oh, we got to pay more for college. It's because the government's given so much money to kids to do it. Simple supply and demand. More money chases mm-hmm. a commodity. It mm-hmm. takes more dollars mm-hmm. to purchase that commodity. Supply of dollars increases, their value decreases. Prices appear to go
up.
But
it's the lobbyists in Washington who are
yep.
insisting that their companies be taken care of, and they're
yep.
they're getting lots of swag in return for it.
Yeah.
You know, the 14th Amendment, let me just read Section 4 to mm-hmm. you, because that's what everybody's talking about.
Right.
And it reads like this. The validity of the public debt of the United States, authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, this is right after the Civil War, people, mm-hmm. shall not be questioned.
Yes.
But neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States. I would say that mm-hmm. the congressional budgets in the over the last 20 years have actually been in rebellion mm-hmm. against the United States, so we shouldn't pay any of those debts.
Well, you can argue that TARP and TARP 1,
and
TARP 2, and healthcare reform.
Anything going to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, has essentially been in rebellion against the will of the United States.
It is,
the population of the United
Section
States.
Section 5 of
right.
Amendment 14 reads as thus, the Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. Not the President, the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the president has no standing to use the 14th Amendment. And Judge Napolitano agrees with me. He and mm-hmm. I often lunch together and we figure out our talking points. And so we've, you know, come up with this idea. But is it possible that this entire dog and pony show is a setup for the implementation of the 14th Amendment by Obama, mm-hmm. followed by impeachment?
That's very possible. That's possible, because there are those within the Tea Party who rightly would argue that the president has exceeded, like finally somebody noticed, exceeded the constitutional limits of his authority. I mean, the fact that he said that he can go ahead and assassinate American citizens without oversight of any kind by the Congress or by the judicial branch, nobody's spoken up against that except for, you know, a few nutters out there like well, Judge Napolitano, you and me, and Future Quake, and you know a few other shows there on the radical fringe, the radical center. That apparently hasn't come to congressional notice. Nobody in Congress is raising a fuss about that, but this might actually do it. On the other hand, this might be a prelude. This whole budget impasse may be leading to the creation of something called the Super Congress.
Oh, you read about this earlier. Please.
Yes.
Explain it to us.
This is something that's just emerged this weekend. There are some news reports floating about, again, as we record this on July 31st of 2011. We've heard in the last few years of bipartisan groups of senators or congressmen getting together, the Gang of Six, the Gang of 12, whatever, to try to facilitate conciliation, to mediate.
Because we can't do it ourselves. We need someone else.
Because radical elements in both parties, but especially in this budget debate, the Tea Party members are really being blamed for being a stumbling block. Tea Party members who won't go along with the Republican leadership, who insist that we cannot raise the debt ceiling. So, a plan has been put out there, which has apparently gotten the support of both Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, and Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the Senate, that would give a proposed super Congress power, a panel, a new legislative body made up of six Democrats and six Republicans from both chambers. So not just senators, but six of each, and presumably, some mixture of congressmen and senators on this new panel.
Old-time Democrats and old-time Republicans, because we're not just talking about the Tea Party. We're also talking about the Blue Dog Democrats.
The Blue Dog Democrats or the Greens.
Yes.
The real progressives in the Democratic Party. So you're looking for the old-line elitists who comprise the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And this is what I think is going on here. They're trying to come up with a way to get around the obstruction posed by Blue Dog Democrats, Tea Party conservatives, and radical Greens, and get done what the establishment, what the elites, the oligarchs want done. This 12-member panel would, according to this proposal, come up with a bill that cuts at least $1.5 trillion in spending by Thanksgiving, and then legislation that this new congressional committee writes would be fast-tracked through Congress, and the bills could not be filibustered or amended. So this 12-member body would come up with bills that would have to come up before Congress for an up or down vote.
It can't be amended?
No debate, no amendment, no filibusters. No filibusters and no amendments. That's correct.
So that's the way it actually should be working.
Well, yes, because they're tacking amendments onto bills that have nothing, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, well, we don't have time for that, but you think this is going to happen?
This appears to be part of the proposal that's working its way through as we speak.
Well, let me make this suggestion then. If you have not yet liked our PID news page at Facebook, should we do this on PID News or PID Radio?
Let's do a poll.
Let's put up a poll, and it will be, which do you think is correct? That Sharon's theory, that this is setting up an impeachment, or Derek's theory, that it's setting up a super Congress?
That's a really good idea.
Let's see what you guys think.
And it could be both.
Can we set up a poll at our PIDradio.com page?
We'll find a way.
We'll find a way, people. We'll put a poll somewhere.
Yeah. So this is something that's being denied by Senators McConnell and Reid. They're just kind of, this is just a commission. This is just a joint committee that is not going to have any super duper powers or anything like that. But I think that this powerful joint committee with an equal number of Republicans and Democrats would represent the interests of the oligarchs rather than representing the will of the people. It's a way of ensuring that your representative in Congress has less of a voice, that your 435th voice of the House of Representatives and your 150th voice in the Senate would be eliminated, essentially, and that this 12-member panel, which would be selected by the Democratic leadership and the Republican leadership, which is dominated by the old line oligarch controlled old boy network, or old gal in the case of Nancy Pelosi, they would choose the 12 members.
I will not yield to that sort of language.
Sure. You're not going to find members of the Tea Party conservatives. You're not going to see Blue Dog Democrats on the panel. I doubt. And it would be a way for them to push through legislation over the objections of those in their caucuses who oppose the legislation that's being pushed. So I think this is another way of removing more power, more of a voice what little we have left from the American people and putting it in the hands, concentrating it in the hands of a few who are well connected and well financed. Yes, Mrs. Gilbert.
I raised my hand. I was very polite. You know, another thing that may be connected in some way to either theory is that while we were away on July the 25th, President Obama signed an executive order.
Oh, he did he?
And he included the following language. This is all about terrorists and criminal organizations that are threatening the national security of the United States. So it's about blocking their property. But this is the language. In the first paragraph, he says, I therefore determine this so that significant transnational criminal organizations constitute an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security, foreign policy, and economy of the United States, and hereby declare a national emergency to deal with that threat.
Yeah.
Criminal organizations, that's very vague language.
It is. The groups, now they did finally post the annex, the groups, named the groups.
Oh.
Yeah. That whose assets they were going
there.
To seize. No, not us.
That's good.
They did name the Zetas, Los Zetas, which is the Mexican.
Because they bought all those guns that we sent down there.
Well, yeah.
We want to make sure that we can seize those guns back.
And take them back, yeah. And they've never paid us for the training at Fort Bragg either.
And we don't want those guns, you know, used in a trial.
Yeah. Camorra, which is a mafia-type criminal organization or secret society originating in the region of Campania and its capital, Naples, in Italy. Camorra, again, C-A-M-O-R-R-A. So I don't know if there's a rival organization to the mafia, but or if it's another type of mafia. Yakuza. Which is the?
Oh, sorry.
Yakuza, which is a an organized crime syndicate from Japan, and the Brothers Circle, or the Family of 11, or the 20.
The Family of 11. Those are very mysterious sounding.
Those are apparently the Family of 11. I believe is just another name for. I get Family of 11, and then one of the hits I get is for the Partridge Family episode. That's not. I'm pretty sure that's
oh,
not.
That's
it.
Really creepy.
I think the Brothers.
I don't know, Danny Partridge.
Yeah, well,
let's talk.
The Brothers Circle is, I believe, a reference to a Russian. Yes, it's a Russian organized crime group. So this executive order appears to target Russian organized crime, Japanese organized crime.
But you know, at any time they could add someone to that list.
Sure, because it's anybody who might. One of the subpoints means any citizen who might be in partnership, association, trust, joint venture, corporation, group, in any kind of assistance to these organizations. Mm-hmm. And of course, the FBI, with the power that it has, can request from your internet service provider, banker, library, currency exchange, wherever you do business, all information they hold on you just because you happen to be a subject of interest in an ongoing investigation related to some other group like Yakuza.
But all of these things are going to just go away on Tuesday when we default on our
That's
debt,
right, and we can't pay
and
any
we
of
all
this stuff.
Go bluey.
Yeah, so.
And we're going to be downgraded.
Hmm.
I don't like being downgraded. I always liked an A or triple A, A+, A++++.
As if these ratings organizations have any credibility after rating all of those junk mortgage-backed securities triple A, because they were being paid by the bankers that were issuing those securities. If you don't rate us triple A, Standard & Poor's, we'll just take our business over here to Moody's and let them rate it. That's how that works. Fox, here's
the
key.
That's the name of that
We need
game.
You to. Here's the key to the hen house. Please keep it safe.
Well, you know what's going on in other parts of the world. Real news that is not getting reported is that hundreds of people are being killed in Syria. It's almost Ramadan. Mm-hmm. In fact, over there, it probably is Ramadan by now. And
yeah,
in Israel, there are as many as 150,000 people who are involved in protests. And get this, it's on Rothschild Boulevard or Rothschild,
oh,
depending on how they pronounce it. They probably say Rothschild over there. The tent city that's been growing up for a few weeks, and today it just sort of boiled over there because they have no jobs and no houses to live in.
Huh. Same
sort of like here.
Well, you know, and that's really a bad mix of ingredients in that part of the world. When you've got disaffected youth, causing trouble for government, happening in Syria, clearly, mm-hmm. and you know, in talking
it's
to Tom
happened
Payne,
in all of these countries, right. The Arab Spring mm-hmm. is turning into an Arab, you know,
summer and
yes.
fall, and yeah, and it's continuing. It's a sort of like rolling blackouts, you know, it just mm-hmm. spills over mm-hmm. from one mm-hmm. region into another. Tom Paine, in talking about this, and he's the author of the book The Template of Time, suggested that the unrest in Syria might prompt the government of Bashar Assad to turn to an external enemy to rally his people behind his government. See, they're responsible. It's the Jews. It could create a real problem. There could be a similar motivation on the part of the Israeli government to turn to an external enemy to kind of bring the people together.
Hmm.
Again,
I think my computer just died. It's unplugged. It
battery?
Just ran out.
Yeah.
Unlike little Blueberry that just goes on and on. Yeah.
So there's that to keep an eye on, the continued unrest in the Middle East, which again is a tinderbox, and it doesn't take much of a spark to ignite things over there.
Over in the UK, we still have the residual effects from the hacking scandal that is sending people like Rupert Murdoch to explain to the House of Commons.
Mm-hmm.
What he allowed to happen.
And
apparently Prince William is very angry about it.
I think this is all about somebody wanting Murdoch's slice of the pie.
What kind of pie is it?
Well, I'm not quite sure what kind of pies are popular in Britain.
You know, before we sign off.
Oh, okay.
It rhymes with pie. It's Ficore.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we've been watching Torchwood,
mm-hmm.
which is on Stars. And if you don't get Stars, eventually it will probably go to Netflix, and it will probably go to BBC America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's going to be at other venues, but you might be able to find it online eventually. It is really good. The first couple of episodes were going slowly. I thought, okay, you're taking forever to, but it's a 10-part series. I thought it was only going to be 5 or 6. 10 parts, so mm-hmm. they're really reeling it out slowly. But Ficore is the name of the drug company mm-hmm. that is cleaning up now that nobody dies, but they're all in pain.
Yeah, that's a really interesting premise. An event takes place one day where suddenly people stop dying, even people who should be dead, like mm-hmm. A character played by the actor Bill Pullman, who his character was a murderer, and a murderer and a pedophile. And he was to be executed at midnight on a certain day. And, of course, at midnight on that day, suddenly people stopped dying. So they ran the toxic drugs through his system. He went through excruciating pain, but he didn't die. And other people, you know, victims of auto accidents, people who should have died of old age or heart attack or stroke, suddenly still alive. And what happens to these people who've suffered massive trauma, burn victims, horribly burned victims, people crushed inside vehicles?
Yes. All you see is the little eye inside crushed vehicle moving.
So what happens when you aren't allowed to die? Well, suddenly you need pain management in ever-increasing numbers. Of course, you also have problems with food and water supply, which is something they're starting to deal
yes.
with, too. But, you know, the issue appears to be, In this plot, that the pharmaceutical companies, especially this particular pharmaceutical company, was aware that this was coming and prepared for it by laying in huge stockpiles of pain meds. So
worked really well, but kept you very conscious, so
yes.
that you're still very much alive and mm-hmm. functioning. And we're finding out now that the secret organization behind it all, whose emblem is a rotating pyramid,
mm-hmm.
is actually moving all of these dead people, alive dead people,
mm-hmm.
To camps.
Yes.
Sound familiar?
Holding camps, yeah.
Camps that to the surprise of Torchwood, look, these have been in place for decades. They've been building these all along.
Mm-hmm. Surprise!
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, very interesting memes there in Torchwood. But some interesting ideas being explored, because typically, we Americans, I think we humans think that living longer would be good. We have a natural aversion to death. Or like, heard a barbershop quartet song that once went something like, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I think that's true.
That is true.
None of us are in any great hurry to get there if we really want to admit it to ourselves. Or most of us anyway. But
I was going to say, I'm ready to go to the feet of Jesus any minute. Take me now. I love being with you, but let's go.
I agree. But I think when the chips are down, when you're facing that, you know, the gun or whatever,
exactly.
When you're seeing the truck
the
coming,
method.
Yes, when you're seeing the truck coming right at you, your natural instinct kicks in. It's like, get out of the way. But
like Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
I will not yield.
So it's interesting to see how they're exploring the idea. So if you've got Stars and you have not yet seen it, check it out. Torchwood, Miracle Day. Another movie that you mentioned we might actually go to the theater to see, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes. We have relaunched WatcherMagazine.com, and I'm trying to sort of examine that, not only the memes in media, but also taking a look at the memes in science and the transhumanism stories and frankly, research that's going on out there. And it's all sort of meshing together. And I think Rise of the Planet of the Apes is the quintessential movie that expresses that sort of meshing together of those memes. So you and I will go to that. Even if I have to drag you kicking and screaming, I don't think you. I think you'll go.
It should be pretty interesting.
Same,
now that CGI has caught up to the concept and we're not watching chimpanzees that are actually Roddy McDowell in a rubber suit, it should be a lot more terrifying. And you know, we had that horrible story about a year ago about the chimpanzee, the pet who was being kept as a pet that attacked a woman and just savaged her. The fact is, these animals are really strong. And what happens when you imbue this animal with superhuman intelligence to go along with its superhuman strength?
Exactly.
Like,
suddenly that animal thinks, you know what? I'm really superior to you.
Yeah. Why are you experimenting on me?
Now let's think about the fourth rider who can kill not only with diseases, but also with beasts.
Yeah, that's disturbing. So Rise of the Planet of the Apes, we'll probably be checking that out. And what else? Oh, there was one other brief thing. Interesting update on the event that Governor Rick Perry of Texas is hosting, The Response, in Houston on August 6th. This coming that would be this coming Friday night, actually. This coming Saturday night, excuse me. C. Peter Wagner has been pulled from the official list, you know, deleted from the official list of sponsors. It's like they don't want to make it too obvious that this is a new apostolic reformation sort of thing.
They figured it out.
Yeah. Cindy Jacobs is still on that list, though. So, yeah, again, praying for the nation, absolutely. Praying for our leaders, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But not if it's identificational repentance, not if the ultimate goal is to put a Christian power structure in place to literally reclaim political dominion over planet Earth in preparation for Jesus Christ's return, incarnate through a body of select overcomers, Joel's army. And the reference to Joel chapter 2, well, I've not checked to see if that's still there, but
I was going to say, we're almost to an hour
that,
now.
The fact that it was there, I think, is disturbing enough. So anyway, just that interesting little development. See Peter Wagner, the head of the new Apostolic Reformation.
Sam says
list.
We're done.
Okay. Well,
he's walking out the
that
door.
That means it's time for the music. Good to be back. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.